thank you that you brought her to this church many years ago. And since then, so much has happened. There's such a story to tell of your goodness. But we pray that we may listen today, as we've been encouraged by Balaji, and think and actually listen to that voice of Jesus. And we pray that we may know you better, Jesus, and what you long for us as a result of having been here today, listening to Lynn and having been with you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you ever so much for your welcome here. It's just so wonderful to be back. I have been back a few times over the years. I really do think it was the 140th anniversary. I think that's when I did last come. So that was nearly 10 years ago, was it? Yes, there we go. But anyway, when I added it up and realised it was 25 years ago, I came, it made me feel really old. But anyway, there we go. Looking at the website and just driving back up and being in the area brings back lots of wonderful memories of being here in the church and how much you've so generously helped and encouraged me right at the beginning of my ministry. And of course, I remembered that Helen, you and the band came and played for my ordination. Do you remember that? A busload came down for my ordination and you played. And so that was wonderful. Anyway, it's great to be here. So three things I think I'm going to be doing this morning, I hope. The first thing is I've been asked to share a little bit with you about the Baptist Union and what that means kind of over the country. I obviously want to encourage you from Scripture as you seek to be faithful to God's mission. And also, I've come, and I hope you have, I've come to enjoy the relationships that I have, the friendship that I have, and also to make new friends and to make new people. So great. So I'm sure you probably won't want to ask me any questions after. You'll be very keen to get to the food, and I quite understand that. So there we go. It's great that Stuart and the girls are able to come with me. They don't often come out with me, so you're very privileged for them to be here too. But Stuart, of course, remembers that. Great. I bring you the greetings of Dr. Kang Sang Tan, who is the General Director of the Baptist Missionary Society, and he too wants to bring his greetings to you. And also Phil Barnard, who is the regional team leader from the London Baptist Association, sends his greetings. So it's great to be here. So we have some pictures. Woo, let's get the pictures up. Oh, the pictures. The pictures will come when the pictures have warmed up. I will start off. Anyway, so here we go. Now I can make this work. Yes. So Baptist Union of Great Britain is a union. And I love this picture because this kind of flotilla of boats is like a good picture of what our union is like. Because we're not all stuck together. We're all kind of independent things. And some are big and some are small and some are old and some are new. And they're all different. But we're all kind of going together and in some sense of moving forward. So I think the flotilla of ships is a good picture. But as Jane said, we've got 2,000 churches roughly in our country. They're organised into regional associations. There are 13 of those, and you're part of the London Baptist Association. There are 5 colleges that help to train and equip us in ministry, and your closest one would be Spurgeon's College here in London. And we're all supported by 3 specialist teams that are based in Didcot, which do a lot of the technical stuff, help us to keep the right side of the law, make sure that we do all the difficult things we need to do, and that we're equipped as churches and we can borrow money and do things and all sorts of brilliant things to keep us on the straight and narrow. Our common vision is growing healthy churches in relationship for God's mission. We're all doing that in different ways, in different places, all around the place, but that's what we're all doing together. And in doing that, I think we work in 4 key areas. So the first thing we like doing together is pioneering and planting. We recognise that we have a huge mission task, and we're going to talk about that later, and we need to be pioneering new forms of church, we need to be planting new churches, we need to be reaching new people. And so that's what we try and work together to do, using our expertise and our resources and our prayer to pioneer and plant. Second most important thing we do as well is equipping churches in mission like you, supporting you, helping you with expertise, with encouragement, with inspiration, sharing stories from each other. This is what we do together, equip and encourage each other in our mission. We also invest in godly leaders. We recognise that leadership is really key in going forward. And of course, today is a brilliant example about how you invested in me. And that was a part of my training. And we do it in lots of ways, through our prayer, through our colleges. We want godly leaders, not only ministers, but all in our churches and everything, to really help us to be all that God calls us to be. And finally, the things we do together is we enable a public voice. I'm sure that you sometimes, you know, we've talked about fake news. What can we do about fake news? We're just a bunch of people here sitting on a Sunday morning. But actually, we believe as Baptists, as we come together and join our voices together, we can say something about the benefits situation. We can say something about universal credit. We can say something about homelessness. We can say something about fake news, because we kind of join our voices together so that they're louder. And one of my roles, and there are others who do this, is to represent Baptist voices in government, in media, and different things nationally and internationally, so that our voice can be heard. So there we go. That's some of the things. And it's a great opportunity for me to come and say thank you, a real personal thank you, for all the way that you help us to participate in God's mission through your praying, through your participation, what you're actually doing, through your mission that you do here locally with all the wonderful things. My daughter was already sitting there saying, why aren't we coming next week, she said. Why aren't we here next week? Because I want to come to the film, you see. So it's fantastic what you're doing here. But also your giving, your generous giving to lots of things, I'm sure, but things like Baptist Together Home Mission and also Baptist World Mission. Really important. We're able to release over £1 million across our country in direct mission grants to start things and plant things, and that's because we all put our money together, and that's fantastic. But also we bless and support our sister churches all around the country. I'm going to tell you a bit more about that later. But anyway, that's my little blurb about the Baptist Union. What I've been asked to talk about today is about encourages and challenges in mission. And I don't want to give a lecture. We want to come around scripture. And so I love this passage from Luke chapter 5. And so I'm going to read it to you now. So if you want to, will it be up on the screen? Oh, yes, it will. There we go. If you've got your Bibles, it's Luke chapter 5. So starting at verse 1. One day, Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret while the people pushed their way up to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, it belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push the boat out further to deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. But if you say so, we'll do it." So they let them down, and they caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. And when Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And he and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. And the same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people." So they pulled up the boats on the beach. They left everything and they followed Jesus. Well, that reading begins with everybody gathering round, pressing round in to hear what Jesus has got to say. And that's what we want to do this morning, is to gather round and press in and hear what God's going to say. So let's just pray together. Lord, I just thank you for the gift of your word. And we too have eager hearts. We long to hear more of you. We want our lives to be shaped and changed. We want to hear from you, Lord. We didn't just come here today for no good reason. We came to meet with you. So, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we be hearers of the word and doers of the word. May we be changed to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Right, so are we ready? This is going to be kind of like a whistle-stop tour of this passage, okay? Because I've got a lot I want to say, so I've got to say it quickly, okay? So, but just to give you a little heads up, there's going to be four sections. And very pleasingly, each section has got an encouragement and a challenge. Okay, you got that? Four sections, one encouragement, one challenge. If you don't get that, don't worry, because at the end there's going to be a summary. So if you're a bit through, when we get to the end, you'll get the points and you'll think, oh yes, I see what you mean now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good, right. Okay, so we're going to start off with verses 1 to 4. Okay, So the first encouragement I see from this passage in that early stage is spiritual hunger. People were gathering round, they were pressing in, they were eager to hear more and to find out more about Jesus. And as I travel around the country in my role, I see that again today. I still see that today. I think we've witnessed that here today, haven't we? People want to know, not everybody, but people do want to know about Jesus. You've probably got your own stories, but let me tell you this one story from recently. It's a young lady called Anna. She was 18. She was invited to a sleepover with a group of her friends. She went to the sleepover. They had a good time. And in the morning, it was Sunday morning, and her friend, which this really surprised me, her friend said to her, "Would you like to come to church?" Well, I mean, for lots of us, we wouldn't even think to ask that question, let alone that anyone would actually want to say yes. But this friend said, "Anyone want to come to church? Would you like to come to church, Anna?" And do you know what? She said, yes. She said, "Yeah, I'll come to church." So she came to church. And she started coming, and first of all, it was really social because she liked mixing with the young people and the care and everything and the friendship that she found, and she started going. But then, of course, she met a young man, which is also another very interesting thing to happen. And together they started going out, and it was wonderful. But, you know, so she came in the church, invitation, then she was welcomed, made to feel part of something, fell in love. And through all these experiences, she came to see and know the good news of Jesus and decided to follow him. Hooray! Amazing! And the day that Anna and her boyfriend got baptised together was a wonderful celebration indeed. And that simple story just reminds me, people want to know about Jesus. You know this, don't you? You know this, don't you? Yes, people want to know about Jesus. Not everybody, but people do want to know about Jesus. And so young people like Anna are spiritually hungry. Jesus meets them and changes their lives. So that's the encouragement to us. People are interested. Not everybody, but people are interested. But the challenge of these first four verses then, you've seen the encouragement, what's the challenge? Well, I think the challenge is twofold. Firstly, Jesus, this is really, really obvious. When we read the Bible, sometimes what God is saying to us is really, really obvious. And the really obvious thing here is Jesus was out there and not in here, wasn't he? He was by the lake. They were crowding around him by the lake. When they were down, he was out where people were, and where he was out where people were, they were crowding round. You've got to be out there, not sitting in, waiting for them to come. So I think that's one of the challenges. And the second thing that I really love about this passage, and I really like to talk about this, is that Jesus' teaching led to action. He taught them, and blow me down, they went and did something about it. Sometimes I think I look at our churches and think we love to come and learn and know and everything. Oh, well, we don't know enough and we haven't got enough experience. We haven't prayed enough and we haven't done this. But anyway, all the bottom line is we're not going to do anything because we need to learn a bit more. But I think the challenge of this passage is there is only so much teaching you can soak up before you've got to go and put it into practice. And so Jesus says to them, put out the boats into deep water and let your nets down. He says to go, you've heard all the stuff, go and do something about it. Get out there on the water, on the deep water. And I love the fact that he says deep water. And of course, shouldn't be difficult for us Baptists. We are deep water people. We like water. We like lots of it. We like deep water. So we're deep water people. And Jesus sends them out into deep water. The deep water of being out of their comfort zones. The deep water where we need to depend on the Lord and have faith. Not just in the shallows where we can think, oh yes, it's okay, I can just step back if it gets a bit too challenging. Out on the deep water. And lastly, he sends them out on the deep water because that's where the fish are. The fish are not in the shallow water. The fish are in the deep water. He sends them out to where the fish are. We've got to get out. And so in these first four verses, I think we see the encouragement of people's spiritual hunger, and we see the challenge that we've got to get out to where people are and get out into deep water and be where people are, out of our comfort zone, sharing Jesus and being where the fish are. Okay, first point, still with me? Yes, good. Thank you, sister. Right, next bit is verses 5 and 6. So verses 5, we're going to flip it around just to make sure you're awake here because it's challenge first now, okay? So challenge we next see, because in verse 5, we then have this moment of this lack of confidence, isn't it? He says, put out to deep water. And Simon doesn't say, yes, I'm ready for it, Lord, bring it on. Simon says, I think, what maybe some of us would like to say. Have you ever felt like this? Oh, like, do we have to? I've been out all night and I'm tired. And do you know what? We didn't catch anything of the night. And what's going to be any different now? Can't I just stay here, please? It would just be much nicer. That's what he says. There's that real sense in him, a lack of confidence, a weariness, a sense of what's the point? We've tried all this before and it doesn't work. Human experience told them there was no point in putting out to deep water. And I'm sure you're like me, that you feel like this sometimes. And then temptation, isn't it, is to stay on the shore, stay in the shallow waters, because then you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to put out into deep water and then fail again. So you just stay put, mend your nets. We'll do a bit of net mending, right? Everyone mending nets and teaching about mending nets. And oh, but we won't be going out to deep water because we don't want to get disappointed again. But we can see that out of this lack of confidence and this weariness, there was still this kind of grain, this seed of obedience. Because in the end he says, but if you say so, I'll do it. He manages to summon something up from within him. And so I think the challenge here is listening to God. What is God saying to us? No matter what we feel about what's going on, what is God saying to us? What is his call to us? What is his call to me? What is his call to you as a church at this time? And despite maybe our struggles and our doubts and our disappointments and our weariness, because we're all doing fantastic so many things, are we willing to say, when we hear Jesus' voice, we will go, we will do it like people? Are we prepared to take the leap of faith? I love this picture. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Are we prepared to push out, even though we don't feel like it, even though we think in our heads it's not going to work, humanly speaking, are we prepared to go if Jesus calls us? And so I think the challenge of this next section is about responsive obedience. Are we listening to God? And when he speaks, are we willing to go, whether we feel like it or not? But facing the challenge and being obedient to Jesus took them to a place of amazing encouragement, didn't it, if you think about it? Because they went out to the place where they thought, oh, it's not going to work, but we'll go anywhere. And then against all the odds, they find themselves hauling in this huge catch beyond their wildest expectations, more than the nets could hold. We would say that Jesus just knocked it into the park, didn't he? Not just like a few fish, it was like, whoa, fish everywhere. And this was nothing of their doing. Left to their own devices, they would have been mending their nets still on the beach. But they followed Jesus and they went out there. It wasn't about their efforts. It wasn't about their cleverness. It wasn't about their skill. It was an outpouring of God's grace. And I had a wonderful experience of this last week. I was at another church and someone came to preach. And it was nothing to write home about. It was fine, good stuff, but it wasn't, you know, like I'm stirring stuff. But you know what? The person made an appeal and three people became Christians. And then at the end of the service, they welcomed in 34 new members, and most of whom were new believers. There's a big catch out there. Jesus has got a big catch. And don't you long to be in that place? To be out on the water and catching the big catch? So attentive to Jesus, so obedient to him, so captivated by him, that even though everything around you screams that there's no point in bothering, you're still willing to be taken out into deep water and to join in with what God is doing there and to be part of that huge catch, the huge catch that is out there. So the challenge is the weariness and the confidence. Will we listen to God and obey despite how we feel? But the encouragement from this section is that there is a huge catch out there. And if we're with Jesus and doing what Jesus is doing, we'll see the huge catch. Oh, there was a picture there. There we go. Huge catch. So, second bit. Third bit is actually just focuses in on verse 7. Because encouragement of the huge... You can see how this kind of weaves around from each other, because they've then got the encouragement of the huge catch, and then they've got the challenge of what they do with it, haven't they? What on earth are we going to do with it? It says they've got so much fish they can't do, they can't even cope with it. And so they have to think, what are they going to do? And this really strikes me from this passage. The catch that Jesus has for them is bigger than they can handle on their own. The catch that Jesus has got for you here is bigger than you can handle on your own. The fields are white for harvest, brothers and sisters. 94% of the population don't yet follow Jesus. 94%. It's not like a bit. That's quite a lot. This, in this area of Bow, in our nation, 94%. The catch out there is huge. It's more than we can handle. And so we need to be playing our part and working with our partners. As it says in the boat, they had so much they couldn't cope, so they called to their partners to come and help them. And the partners came, and even when the partners came, the boats were so full they nearly sank. Even when they worked together, they could barely do it, but they just about managed to bring the catch in. And so one question I want to ask you is, who are you partnering with? Who's your partner? Who are you partnering with so that you can bring in the catch that's in Jesus' heart, the huge catch? But also, this is one thing about working together as Baptists together. And I understand that you've got a Christmas offering for our Baptist Together home mission. So I want to tell you a story of this church here, Ilfracombe Baptist Church. Because when you make your offering on Christmas, at Christmas, I want you to think about this church here. Now, Ilfracombe is a bunch of older people. They're mission-minded, but they are getting older. And you might think of Ilfracombe, you know, like to be a lovely little kind of Devon idyllic seaside community. But if you know anything about the West Country, not all of the seaside communities are idyllic. Many of them suffer a great deal of deprivation and all sorts of social issues, and Ilfracombe is one of them. And I was there over the, when did we go? October? October half term. And I had a half an idea of this story, but I didn't remember it all. But we walked up the high street, and there we saw the church, and I read the stuff, and we stood outside and I prayed for them. Bang in the high street is this church, and I thought, I'm sure I remember being told something about this, and I went and found out. Because you see, the issues in Ilfracombe, they've got huge issues of alcoholism and substance misuse, actually, below the surface of the buckets and spades. And so they're sitting there thinking, what on earth can they do? What has God given them? We're a bunch of older folk who don't have very much energy left. We've got a church on the high street, right in the middle of the town. What can we do? What can we do? And you know what they're doing? They're doing this Saturday. They do this night church. They don't even think they've got enough capacity to do street pastors. So they just do this night church is what they can do. So they open up the church two Saturdays a month, the foyer there, really to meet with the nighttime economy. As you see, from 8 till midnight, they make toast, they serve coffee, they pray with people. And someone who can play the piano plays kind of hymns and things in the church, because sometimes people go in and start talking about it. They're just trying to do what they can do. And it just struck me, such an amazing thing, that here is a group of people trying to reach out to their community with the love of Christ. And, you know, I would love us to have the resources to put a pioneer into that situation, to be able to develop that work, to work with that group of people, to build a real thriving Christian community serving the people in that place and bringing light into the darkness there. And so that's what I'm going to say. When you think about making your giving can make a difference, can provide seed funding for churches like Ilfracombe and other churches up and down the country, on new housing estates, in urban areas, in rural areas, all sorts of places. Your money is going to make a difference in bringing light into communities. And so I would love to think of you partnering with us in that, just like they did in the story. And so if we think of the challenge, what are we going to do? The encouragement is that they helped each other. As I said, both boats were so full they nearly sank. So it's actually in working together that we get more of the harvest. We see more of God's encouragement. And I believe that as we help each other across Baptist together with our prayer and our participation and our mission and our giving, all of us will be part of bringing in God's huge harvest. And the last section is 8 to 11. Because it ends, doesn't it, with this moving encounter between Simon, Peter and Jesus. So they go out on the water, they do the thing. Simon is just, his mind is blown by it. And when he comes back, he's just like, whoa, what's happened there? And he has that real sense of being out of his league, I think, and realising that he's kind of like out of his depth, like, whoa. And he falls on his knees and he says, Lord, I am a sinner. He sees Jesus as Lord. He understands that Jesus is Lord in that moment because he's seen God at work and he's like, whoa. And that was a profound, holy ground moment, a life-changing encounter with the living God. And so if I wanted to bring an encouragement from this section, I want to encourage you that if you don't yet know and follow Jesus, now is your chance. Today is the day to say, yes, Lord. The Lord loves you. He forgives you. He wants to give you a fresh start. And he wants to give you life in all its fullness. And he's here today. And if you want to follow him and commit your life to him, then please see Jane or I afterwards and we'll pray with you, because that is a tremendous gift. And the challenge of this section is also linked to that, isn't it? The challenge is for those of us who already are following Jesus, is will you keep on following? Will you keep on following? Will you keep listening? Will you keep obeying? Will you keep witnessing? Will you keep partnering? Because we have to, we're in it for the long haul. And we follow Jesus and we keep following Jesus wherever he calls us to go. And so this is the summary bit, if you've been not wondering where we're at. So the challenge is there to move out into deep water beyond our comfort zones, to be out there where the people are, because that's where Jesus is and at work. There's the challenge of our sense of confidence, our lack of confidence and our weariness. If just thinking about that, I did bring some of these with me as well, Talking Jesus Research, which just helps you to see how Pete had done some research with non-Christians as well as Christians to say, how are you perceived? And it's really encouraging reading, so you might want to take that and look at that. There's some at the back. The harvest is huge. The harvest is huge out there. And the challenge of that is, how are we going to connect? How are we going to be where Jesus wants us to be? And so we need to be listening to God and following him. But the encouragements are this, aren't they? There is spiritual hunger out there. People want to know about Jesus, and we need to be connecting with them. God is at work. I go around the country and see people coming to faith, churches growing, things being planted, stuff happening. God is at work. And we can be encouraged as well with this sense of kingdom partnerships, working together. And again, I see a lot of this around the country, that we're really seeing the benefit of working together in partnerships. And of course, we can be encouraged by new followers in Christ, like Anna, like the three from last Sunday, who are saying, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want the life and the love that you bring. So the harvest is plentiful. Let's give ourselves afresh to playing our part and partnering together for the sake of the kingdom and being generous with all that we have and that God's given us, so that we can see many, many, many people in this city, in this nation, that they can see Jesus as Lord and worship him as Lord and Saviour. So there you go. So it's the Q&A time.
It is.
Hurrah. So are you going to come and share this?